Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Tune into Turntable Taxi on KSJE Saturday nights at 8 o'clock. Each week, we select a musical style and play 78s, 45s, and 33 RPM records. Some of our themes will include swing music, blues, heart-wrenching torch songs, early rock and roll, girl groups, soul, and R&B.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mick Hess, your host for Roving with the Arts here on KSJE 90.9. Please join me every weekday starting at 9 a.m. for the chance to hear full-length, unabridged opera, ballet, symphonic, and chamber music. I'll share news of local concert events that you may be interested in attending, background information about some of the greatest musical compositions ever written. Tune in weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. and Wednesday from 9 to 10:30.
Good afternoon. I'm Chief Steve Hebby, and this is The Cop Shop on Friday, November 11th. It's been a busy couple of weeks for you. I'm coming in by myself on this episode. Shanice did her one time and ran screaming out of the offices. I think Scott offended her with some of the Buffalo Bill stuff that we had last time. She's getting some treatment, and I'm sure she'll be game time ready here in a couple of weeks. But actually, Shanice is in Illinois right now at an FBI training course on public information officers. So it's a great chance for her to mix with some other PIOs and hear some good training from around the country. And so I'm looking forward to her coming back and being all ready and have a lot more conversation tools. I'm sure they'll give her some pointers on that. So I'm coming to you from the mighty KSJE offices here by myself, flying solo. But we have had a bunch of things going on here lately. The first, of course, this week, I think all the results aren't even in yet, and that's the election, both locally and nationally, played out. There was, locally, maybe not a lot of surprises, even up to the state level, but there was also not a lot of drama. So we'd had some reports of signs being vandalized, and there was some concerns that maybe there was going to be problems at the polls, either poll watchers for one party or the other, and voter intimidation, and really all of that just kind of fell apart. Things came off very, very quietly for us on Election Day at the police department. We did a bunch of drive-bys of polling places to make sure things were going well, but really everything was very quiet here in San Juan County, and I was proud of our citizens. No matter which side of the issue you were on, we showed up at the polls, we voted. That's the American way. There wasn't a lot of drama. There wasn't any outbursts or incidents for the police to deal with, which there shouldn't be, really. I mean, this is just showing up and voting. So I was very pleased with how that went. Nationally, there's still several races, maybe 30 or 32 that are still being settled in the House of Representatives to decide whether that's Republican or Democratic controlled. The Senate looks like it'll be, once again, extremely close. Either it'll be a 50-50 again or 51-49 one way or the other, by the looks of it. So maybe there's Georgia heading to a runoff. Alaska looks like they're still counting, although I think it's going to be a Republican either way. I think Nevada was still hanging out there, and Arizona appears like it's going to wind up going with the incumbent, who's, I think, Mark Kelly, former astronaut and Democrat from Arizona, is going to win. So really a very close election, probably reflective of where we are as a country, pretty split on how we see things, but pretty evenly split on how we see things. you know, given some of the drama that we've had over the last 2 to 4 years surrounding elections, I was pleased. I was remarking to Scott that I saw elections that were close in the Republican one and elections that were close in the Democrat one. There didn't seem to be a lot of drama one way or the other. Neither party really, I felt like, could feel overly aggrieved that every time the election was close, so-and-so won. That didn't seem to be the case. Depending on what part of the country you are, you know, the Democrat won or the Republican won. I think that's probably consistent with what you'd expect to see in some of these elections. So there was, even in Oregon, it was a very close election again for governor. In a deep blue state, the Democratic governor held on and won, but it was a very close one, and the Republican nearly won that one, which would have been a shock in that state. So overall, I was very pleased as an American that we were able to put aside some of the really vitriolic things that we've heard over the last few years, go to the polls, hold an election. We'll see what the results are over the next few days as all the votes get counted. But it looks like it's going to be pretty split in Washington. Either side that has a majority won't have a big majority, that's for sure. And we'll see where that leads us as we move on. Just as we were coming live here, I saw that Ukrainian troops were entering Kherson. For those of you that have followed the show, you know that I was, I am particularly interested in that conflict. Frankly, you know, everything I knew growing up was the Russians were kind of our enemy. They were certainly somebody we feared and focused our foreign policy on. And then they kind of dropped off following the Berlin Wall and the splitting up of the Soviet Empire. And now they're just the Russian Federation, but the Russian Federation acting more like the Soviet Union again, with just an outright invasion of Ukraine. I've been very proud of the Ukrainians. It's been a very inspirational defense of their home. And for them to be counterattacking the second most powerful, allegedly, second most powerful nation in the world, and doing so with gusto and with a lot of success, and recapturing the largest city that the Russians had taken from them roughly 8 or 9 months after the Russians invaded. You know, I think that's a great day for freedom-loving people, period, that they're standing up to bullies. Not a big one on bullies. Got into policing 32 years ago, probably with that being one of the big motivators. Just don't like just because you got the power means now you're going to push everybody else around, and everybody who has rights and who legitimately should be able to do their thing doesn't get to just because you're stronger. So I'm not a big fan of bullies. Proud of what the Ukrainians are doing today. I think a great day for them. I'll wind up reading a bunch more about it after the show. Maybe we could even log on and I could read it to you as we're on the show, but maybe I'll skip that for now. So you should maybe do a little looking at that. That is a major issue for us in foreign policy. It drives a lot of American foreign policy right now. Do we support the Ukrainians? How much do we support them? What are the consequences of that with the Russians saber-rattling nuclear weapons from time to time? So definitely something to keep your eyes on. Locally, for us, the PD's been busy. Our latest push shouldn't be just a new push. It's something that we've really emphasized all year, but our numbers oftentimes do drive how much we can do of it, and that's traffic enforcement. It's something we've talked about on the show before, something I've talked about in public before. This has been a bad year as it comes by driving and the performance of some of our drivers. Lots of speed. And lots of guests are outside. I feel like I'm in New York at the Today Show studios with the fans outside the window. Fans of Scott, unfortunately, not fans of mine.
He was waving at you.
Was he?
Really? He was waving at you.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. But the traffic enforcement, you know, can be one of the first things that goes when the police get busy and we don't have the staffing. You know, we're responding to calls. Those calls wind up driving us and our shift. But we started the year with a significant number of fatality crashes for Farmington. So within the first 3 months, we had 3 fatalities. The last 4 years combined each year was 4, 4, 4, 4. And we had 3 in the first 3 months here. Now, we've been somewhat fortunate because we've not had another fatality since March. But I say somewhat fortunate because we still had some spectacular wrecks. That we were just plain lucky that people weren't killed in, but people were very badly injured in those wrecks. So speed and alcohol are almost consistently the two biggest factors in the number of injury crashes that we get and the severity of those injury crashes. Seat belts would be another factor in those. But even on my way to the studios today, stop a car going up Butler at like 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. So it is everywhere around Farmington. What you should be seeing is lots of police activity. We're devoting overtime. We're holding calls in stack so that we can be more aggressive on traffic enforcement as we approach the holiday season, and more people are going to be out in our streets. The streets will be crowded, and the reckless and speeding driving that we've seen and endured, you know, we have to get it under control. Now, we did a post on that about a week ago on our increased traffic enforcement, and you know, there was lots of chatter about the police, and it's good, and you know, glad to see the police out there. But then there were also the detractors, you know, it must be quota time. And I'm not quite sure where that comes from. There's no quotas. The police officers get to write as many tickets as they want. We encourage them to write more tickets, but there is no magic number. There was also comments about it must be time for the police department to raise money. You know, the police department, first of all, does not get the money from citations. It goes into the general fund for the city. And secondly, we probably spend more money per ticket than we make on any citation. By the time you're done with the officer's time that they're doing it, by the time you're done with any overtime that we're using to write those citations, and then the tickets go to court, and then if they don't pay the citation, then you wind up going to collections, so the city's paying for all. By the time it's done, there's no profit in writing tickets. But what there is the profit of safer streets so that we're not having such hideous car crashes in our community. And that actually impacts every citizen. So insurance rates for our area are directly tied to how many crashes and what the severity of those crashes are. So when your car insurance goes up, or when your medical insurance goes up as it relates to being in vehicle crashes, it's directly tied to what our numbers are. So it's a hidden cost, you know, and people don't necessarily equate it. You just know your insurance rates went up. But why they're going up is because of the number of crashes that the PDs are reporting. So, you know, there is an and that's many things in our society. There's an unseen cost that maybe people don't even know that they're winding up paying for it. But we, believe me, we are paying when bad drivers are on our roads and they're causing carnage on our roads. And somebody was telling me today that it even translates down to truckers, as the truckers are transporting their goods to and from Farmington or coming through Farmington, that the insurance companies are looking at our traffic safety record and then they're imposing a fine or a higher rate on those trucks that come into our area, which means, of course, they're passing that rate on to us, right? Whatever they're transporting in is now going to be more expensive because it costs more to get it here. So, you know, I know getting a ticket is not fun. I have gotten tickets in my time, and I never throw a party about it. But I also know, you know, we can't be speeding. We can't get in some of the collisions that we get into. And I've gone to visit some of our Farmington residents that are down in Albuquerque in the hospital because they're injured so badly they can't even be treated here in Farmington anymore. And so when you're down there and there's a child who's badly injured, and it all ties to speed and seatbelt, you know, it makes you reflect a little. We ought to be able to go to the grocery store or drive to work and not get just smashed and then wind up having to spend weeks or months in a hospital. So I hope all citizens will join me in saying, you know, let's slow down, Farmington. Let's get ourselves under control on how we're driving and why we're driving that way. But if we aren't, then let's also be prepared to see lots of red and blue lights. The officers are out there. They're making stops, and we're going to keep that push on through the holiday season so that we can get through this as safely as possible and end our year at least on a better note than the year started. So that's been one of our biggest pushes. And really, at the start of the year, the two goals that I had for the agency was we're going to do better on traffic enforcement and we're going to do better on gun crimes. So we had a number of gun crimes late last year and then into the start of this year. And I made it clear to our officers, we are going to investigate those gun crimes. And if we've got bad guys that are using guns in furtherance of selling drugs or robbing or whatever their crime is, then we're going to do our best to cooperate with the feds and get them into the federal system where the time given is much more significant than local time, and we're going to get them out of the community. So if you commit a crime in Farmington, that's X bad. But if you commit a crime in Farmington with a gun, that's Y bad. And Y bad is going to get you full attention of the federal agencies that we cooperate with. We have had some success in accomplishing that, but honestly, those are the two goals that we've had for 2022. And now here at the end, you know, we really are picking up our visibility on traffic. Some of that also is tied to our numbers, the number of officers we have on the street. So we just graduated several kids that are now young officers. They made it through field training, and they've hit the street. We've had a lateral that's come over that used to be with us, and she came back, and so she'll be hitting the street here on her own and in the next few months. We've also hired maybe 14, might be 14, might be 15 for a January Academy. Now, those guys won't see their solo time until October of next year. But as our numbers pick up, you know, that gives us the ability to do some of the things like greater traffic enforcement and more proactivity along those lines. It'll give us the chance to reconstitute our traffic unit that we've had to get rid of as we've tried to staff the street. So those are some of the challenges that we've faced in 2022, and really since 2020. Our numbers have really struggled over the last two and a half years. And we've talked about that some on the show, the reasons for that, and our efforts to combat that. Our recruiting has gone very well over the last 6 months, and you can see the turn as the public has really changed their view of crime. And it is easier, you know, the pendulum kind of goes back and forth. The safer the public feels, the more we start worrying about, you know, getting people out of jail and giving them a chance and doing the things that we hope would help rehab them and keep them out of recidivism. But as crime picks up, you know, we become more focused on, okay, we got to support the police. We got to feel safe when we're going about our day. That means, you know, let's get folks back into jail. Let's worry about sentences again. So that pendulum throughout my 32 years in policing has swung back and forth. The last 2 years have been rough, no doubt about it. It was the most... most radical look at police over the last 2 years that I've ever seen. When you're down to just structurally talking about dismantling police departments, and I've been critical of that through the last couple of years. But I will tell you, whether it's ignorance or it's deliberate, it certainly is naive, and it represents a naivete that it now is, you know, some of these jurisdictions are really paying the price for. And I think we talked last time about Minneapolis graduating 6 recruits from their academy. I mean, 6, we've got 8 in the academy right now in Farmington, and we're maybe 1/6 the size of Minneapolis PD. So there is a cost to some of the flights of fancy that we got into over the last couple of years. We're paying it some. Sheriff's Office has struggled to get more bodies in, but we really have done a better job. Over the last 6 months or so, we've really seen the number of applicants pick up. And so I'm very hopeful when we're talking next year this time, we're going to be at or near full staffing, which would be just fantastic. Some of the other things we've got coming up, we've got a couple of people right now out at Northwestern School of Police Staff and Command. They're in northern Kentucky. It's 2 of our sergeants, Mike Graff and Luther Mosley. They're completing 11 weeks next week. They'll finally graduate and be able to come back. That's an enormous sacrifice for their families. They've been away a long time. We're looking forward to getting them back. We just had our Women with Insight class wrap up, and that graduation occurred last Saturday. I was out there. Those are very popular classes, Women with Insight, more focused on self-defense and defense tactics. For women, a very popular class. They maybe had 27 people in the class. It was a very big class for us, and everyone seemed to love it. So that was great. We've got some exciting cultural things coming up here in Farmington, of which Scott is playing a major role. And there's some performance art tomorrow night at the Civic Center at 7 p.m. Scott is the MC. And Scott, I'll kind of throw it to you. What do you got planned for us?
Well, Chief, thank you for mentioning it. I've been asked to MC this piece of performance art. It is called the Miss Nalgas USA 2022. It is put on by Rosemary Meza Desplas. She is a local artist, and she's had artwork on display here at the Salmon College Art Gallery, other galleries throughout the country, and actually throughout the world. She's had some of her work presented. And so it is kind of a takeoff on a beauty pageant, as it sounds, right? And and from what I understand and have been involved with, it's kind of about how women are objectified in beauty pageants. Some people believe that and feel that way. And older women who maybe in society, you know, as men age, we're called more distinguished, but as women age, the terms aren't necessarily so positive. Sure. And this is kind of talking a little bit about that in our society these days and what that means for women of a certain age.
And they're bringing you in?
They're bringing me in. Huh. Yeah, I know.
You're the celeb.
I'm the MC, and the MC is described as an Anglo man who is wearing a fake mustache trying to be a Hispanic man.
Okay.
Which I don't know if I did well or not. We'll see.
We will see.
Audience decide.
You've certainly done your share of acting. I mean, you were
right,
a newscaster, but you've done a lot of the
Dining with the Dead. Dining with the Dead every year, yes. Yeah, that supports Kiwanis Club, sure.
And the dance marathon. I mean, so you're...
Right, you were there too.
I did.
Don't sell yourself short, Chief. Shaking a leg on stage.
I might dispute some of the characterization of men having a more distinguished reference. People seemed to, you know how old I was in the dancing, and it really didn't go all that favorably for me.
I see. Well, it wasn't your most distinguished look. We'll leave it there. How's that?
Thank you. Yes.
Now, today, you're in uniform. Yes. I think the distinguished, I think, fits.
I should have danced in uniform.
There you are. That's probably all kinds of codes of conduct violation.
That's true.
So you can't do that.
So speaking of codes of conduct, the NFL.
Oh, yes.
You were able to
2 weeks ago
to rough us up.
A quite different show, wasn't it?
Yes, I had the impending sense of doom. Actually, the game did not go as badly for the Packers as
I thought.
They actually were pretty competitive
with the Buffalo Bills.
Bills, but the Bills did dispatch them. Then we came back home, and I was ready to watch us go to Detroit and get a win against a 1-6 Lions team, kind of get ourselves righted again.
Right,
and we got we didn't get crushed. Because they almost won it at the end, but they played terrible, and you can't lose that game, and their season is over. And so as I was depressed, I flipped on the highlights of the Bills game, and I perked up.
Right.
Because
the
Bills lost.
Yeah.
The Jets.
They did.
And that was after kind of a lot of chest pounding.
I know.
Really.
Right. Who would have thought that would
happen? I actually thought you were going to, you know, maybe have Buffalo and have the symbol on your chest.
Right.
And you would... Because you were getting carried away.
I think it was a little karma.
Little reality check.
Little karma back on me, and I accept that. You know, so it probably was me just, you know, boasting a bit too much the previous week against the Packers.
Well,
and then the Jets have to come in and just do what they did.
But it's exciting when your team has struggled for years when they start coming up.
Well, yeah, and you know that.
Yes,
and I know that.
Yep. And now, unfortunately, it's not as exciting, which you went through, I think.
Yeah.
It's not as exciting to watch the decline. And
right.
That's kind of where I am. But if Jared Allen isn't too badly hurt, I think the Bills will be, you know, back on.
Or his brother Josh Allen.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's Josh.
Yeah.
I forget which one is there.
But maybe he went to Jared.
Well, Jared.
Let's say that.
Jared was with the Vikings for years.
I see where that's coming from.
Packer quarterbacks, so that never helped me. But you're right, Josh.
Okay.
But Josh is now a little lame duck.
Yeah, we're watching his elbow. We're concerned about that. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if he's going to play with the Vikings on Sunday. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah. Stay to day. I don't know.
Well, we're nearing the end of the show. What do I got, a minute?
You got like 30 seconds, actually.
I got like 30 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Scott's chewing up all my time. Why do I have this show if it's all about Scott?
You brought me in, but now I'm going away.
In any event, we'll see you again here in a couple of weeks. I'm doing a bunch of traveling, so I'm not quite sure if I'll be around for the next show. But we look forward to talking with you. Keep things safe. Drive safely out there, folks. And, you know, let's have a great holiday season. Thank you.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.